Amen. So these times are times of great change. And sometimes the change is unexpected. We've had change with the Hope Center coming. We've had change in different ways, and that's good change. And actually, this change that we've just spoken about is instigated by God. So it's something that we believe will be good for us too, and we're going to take Ignite continuing in the same direction in which it's been going. But God is always at work, isn't he? The Bible says, my Father is always at work. And so I am sad about it, but I'm also excited. And I had that strange feeling when, because Jordan and I spent a few times talking about this, and we were just sharing about these things. I felt very sad about that because of great love for Jordan. But when he told me his final decision, he says, I'm gonna take up this new post. I actually had the most remarkable peace from God. I really felt it was from the Lord about it. And that peace was something unusual. You ever experienced that where you think, this is the peace that makes no sense? Peace that passes understanding is the Bible definition. And that's good. And I just sense that the Lord is in this, and that we want to just continue faithful in prayer and bringing up our young people in the ways of the Lord. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. This is a well-known, powerful passage of Scripture. And we've been looking over these past few weeks at themes relating to finding freedom. We spoke about forgiveness, which is one of the greatest ways of finding freedom, to forgive. Have you forgiven everyone from your heart? It's a big question, and it's one of those issues that does hold people back in their discipleship and following the Lord. If we refuse to give forgiveness, then we are definitely going to be held back until that time where we obey the Lord and forgive freely from the heart. We looked at repentance. And repentance isn't just the feeling that you're sorry for something you've done wrong. Repentance is living differently. It's going the opposite direction. It's choosing life. And repentance is the change of your mind. Changing your mind from the ways of sin towards the ways of Christ. And it's living it out, as John the Baptist said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So repentance is about how we live. Holiness matters to God, and righteousness matters to God. Then we spoke thirdly about obedience. Clem spoke to us on that subject last week, with that great test which Abraham went through on Mount Moriah, where God tested his heart to see would he be willing to even give his child to God. And Abraham, remarkably, because I don't think I could have done that, I don't know about you, but remarkably he passed the test of obedience, and God blessed him. And it's a real important theme that obedience is fine when everything's going our way. The trouble is sometimes when God calls us to do something or be some or in some way be obedient to him, that goes maybe against the grain or isn't quite what we were thinking that we were going to do with our lives. That is a tremendous test of obedience. It's all very well to obey the Lord when all is well, but when the Lord speaks and says something costly, will we still obey? I think that's a real path to freedom. The Christian life is not just for us to be at ease with the world, at ease with everybody, and sailing along in mediocrity. The Christian life is really worked out in the nitty-gritty of forgiveness, of repentance, of obedience to God, even when it hurts. And it does hurt sometimes. I'm just going to grab my water here. It does hurt sometimes there is a cost. There is a cost to following Jesus. Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. And that means that we put God first. That means that we are willing to let Christ truly be king and let Christ be Lord, not just Savior. And so we don't just accept all the benefits of salvation and go off in a consumeristic way, happy to take all the blessings, but not happy to make the cost. That's not discipleship. And Jesus said, you know, he said, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And if the Master shows us the way of obedience, if Jesus shows us the way of the cross, if he shows us the way of sacrifice, of forgiveness, if he shows us the way of love, if he shows us, you know, these things, and everything we read in the Bible is Jesus showing us the way to God and the way that he calls us to live, then if he has trod that way himself and he's the Master, how much more are the disciples, how much more you and I are called to live in his ways? And that's why we come to this fourth and final look at this finding freedom. And the title here is about fullness. Fullness. And it's really about the Holy Spirit, who is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one on whom we depend to lead us to Christ. The Holy Spirit is fully God, just as much God as the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, has come, and he is here. His Spirit is with us. And the Bible even says, promises that the Holy Spirit will reside and abide in us, which is why it's better for us, as Jesus taught, that Jesus should go back to the Father, and why it's better for us. We don't have Jesus walking around on earth still today, directing the whole operation from earth, but that he should send the Holy Spirit who would live in us. And we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. God has filled you, and you are a temple. You are a residence for God the Holy Spirit in your human spirit. God, his Spirit resides in you. In Ezekiel 36, God says, I will put my Spirit in them and teach them to follow my decrees and my judgments. So if you've become a Christian and if you're following Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that's where this topic of fullness comes from. I want to encourage us, I suppose, I said this once before, I really want to encourage us to never take God casually. To never just assume that the kind of life we're living at the moment is the full measure that God has for us. Because that's why we use language, for example, saying, there is more. Because when the Holy Spirit lives in you, there is always more that God wants to do in you. There's always more ways of love he wants to lead you in. There's always more of his power he wants to display through you. There's always more of his heart he wants to reveal to you. And there's always more of our lives that we want to give to him as well, isn't there? There is so much more. And sometimes I worry about the church at large, and also this church and my own life, that we might miss the much more of God. That we might, through consumer Christianity, which is all take and no give, which doesn't pay the cost of true discipleship, which is content to just go on without making a dent into the kingdom of darkness. The kind of Christianity that is basically maybe just turning up on a Sunday and living at the minimum level required, if you like. What's the least I can get away with? Sometimes Christians operate on that basis, and I do worry that sometimes all of us are subject to that kind of thinking, and it's true of the church at large in the UK today as well. And if we go into that mindset of a consumer Christian, we're going to miss the fullness. We're going to miss the much more that God has made available to us through his death and his resurrection, through Pentecost, through the coming of the Holy Spirit. There's so much that God wants to be about in our lives. My Father is always at work, And the Father is the God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always seeking us, that we will, they would want to be, he wants to be at work in us. And are we partnering with that? And that's what this fullness really is about, because we believe in a whole gospel and we also believe in full salvation. Sometimes these things get neglected. It's easy sometimes for us to remember some parts of the Word of God and forget other parts. And that happens with the gospel sometimes, where we focus so much on the love of God, we forget the judgment of God. And it's all part of the gospel. But that also happens in the Christian life, where we just focus on all the benefits that we get from the Lord, and we forget sometimes this element of surrender and cost and going through with God no matter what it costs, through difficulty, through trial, and so on. And sometimes we also forget that God has so much more for us. We get into the daily grind of life, the daily habits and rhythms of life, of work, of family, of home, of living, and so on. And sometimes we forget that we were called to more than this. That God has put a purpose and a destiny into your heart to accomplish great things for God, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. That we are called to make disciples of all nations, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That we are called to be set apart for God in our generation. And that we're not called to look like the world just in the same way the world does. But we are called to look like Christ and reflect heaven, reflect Jesus into the community and the workplaces and the homes in which we live. And sometimes I think we end up with a half measure or less than a half measure of the gospel in terms of what we're expecting God to do in us, or what we're expecting God to do through us. And I would call us, my heart's desire is that the church, including us, that we look up higher, and that we don't just look down and get on with our own lives, but that we look up, we set our affections on things above, not on things of earth. That we're not building our own little kingdoms here, just getting through, just getting the next bills paid and the next so on and so forth. I'm not saying those things are not important, but when those things take up all of our energy, and we've got, where is the adventure of the kingdom of God in our lives? Where is the obedience? Where is the stepping out for God in our lives that God calls us to live? That's what I believe this thing about fullness is, because Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. But is that our testimony? That we would say, I'm living with God. I'm living life to the full with God. That fullness coming into our lives. And I want to make this very simple this morning. The word here from Ephesians 3, firstly, let me make it very simple, because I think firstly, it reminds me of my weakness, but secondly, it reminds me of his fullness. When I think of my own story, and all the things I'm saying this morning apply to me as much as to anybody else, and I've over the years become only just more aware of my brokenness, more aware of my weakness, more aware of my, if I'm honest, that sense of being connected to God doesn't always just happen. It's not like, I don't want you to think that I just go around about floating on air thinking I'm always connected to God. I've got this marvelous sort of saintly life that never struggles. I tell you, there's tremendous struggle. I've certainly, even, you know, all the time, you know, I'm always, my heart is towards the Lord, but I don't always feel connected. It's not about my feelings. It's not about always having a mountaintop prayer experience. Those do happen, but most of the time, it's the normal seeking God. There's times where, in my weakness, I recognize my tiredness. I recognize the battles, the hurts, the mistakes, the things that come in, the fears, the struggles, the tears sometimes of life, the sin and the selfishness and the passivity and lack of love or prayer that come in and chip away at that sense of the fullness of God being at work. I'm very conscious of my feebleness, my insecurities, my own strongholds that stop me, and I want you to know that I am with you, conscious of those things. I'm sure you are too. Hopefully, you're probably conscious of mine, but you'll be conscious of your own areas where you need to grow in your discipleship. We don't always feel bulletproof Christians, do we? We are not, if we're honest, always on the victory side, are we? Is that true? It's true for me. And that's because it's not the Christian feeling, it's the Christian faith. It's the Christian faith. Jesus never promised that we would always feel good. But he promised that he would always be with us. No matter what we are experiencing, I will be with you always, even till the end of the age, when we are in difficulty, when we are recognizing our own weakness. And I think sometimes this is the best place to start. In true discipleship, the best place to start is in honesty with God. Not pretending, not making up something, but being genuine with God. I can't tell you the amount of times where, when I do meet with the Lord, it tends to start with me being honest with God. Lord, I am struggling. I am disconnected. Lord, I'm fearful. Lord, I'm aware of a barrier in my heart to you. And it might be pride, it might be my stubbornness or selfishness. Or, Lord, I'm struggling at the moment with such and such, or something's hurting, whatever it might be. Those are sometimes my points of greatest connection. It takes me a while sometimes to realize that that's where I need to be. But if we want to know the fullness of the Spirit, I think the place to start is with the recognition of our own weakness. The recognition of our own brokenness and being honest with God. And Paul writes this prayer not to a perfect church, but to ordinary men and women in Ephesus. And he says to them, I pray. And I want you to notice here the number of times that the prayer is dependent on God. It's talking him, he, Christ, the Father, everywhere that's mentioned, it's all about his fullness. And the only way that I can access this fullness and begin to more and more, and we can access the fullness and begin to have more of a taste of the measure of the fullness of God, is where we say, Lord, it's nothing in my hand I bring. I've got nothing, Lord. All the fullness is yours. Lord, fill me with your fullness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I haven't got any holiness. I've only got I'm clothed in Christ. You haven't got any either. All we have comes from him, from above, from the Father of lights. Any fullness we have came from him. He is the full God who gives. Now look what Paul says here. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Look who the beneficiary is and look who the giver is. I haven't got any self-help. There's nothing to do with self-help Christianity. This is all coming by grace from God. And that's why we come to him and say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I am broken. Lord, I am weak. Lord, I'm a needy person. Lord, fill me. It's your glorious riches. It's Christ. It's out of your resources, Lord God, that you want me to live. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is exactly what we're talking about. And is a marvelous Trinitarian, because he says he's praying to the Father that through his Spirit, so that Christ may dwell. The Trinity, the relationship of God together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is at work in us. And Paul's praying for more of it. This glorious work of the Spirit in us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that you may know this love. And friends, there's nothing here other than his fullness coming, crashing in to my weakness, that enables me to live a Christian life, that enables me to follow Jesus. I haven't got an ounce of energy in myself to follow Jesus, but only by the Holy Spirit, only by his grace and his fullness have we received grace upon grace. So do you see here also, there's something, it's all this whole prayer, if you could summarize it in one point, is about relationship with God. It's all coming from him to me. It's this beautiful relationship. He would strengthen us, that he would give us power in our inner being, that he would dwell in us. His language here of God coming to us and filling us. And also a language of great love. Verse 17 and verse 19. He says, I pray that you being rooted and established in love. In verse 19 it says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Knowing it. Knowing this love. Not knowing about this love, but knowing the love that God has for us. And that's the gospel. That's what we proclaim. That's what we sing. That's why we take time to worship the Lord, to honor him and to thank him and to know his love afresh in our hearts. This perfect love. John Wesley called this perfect love. He described this experience of being filled with the Spirit as perfect love. That's what he called fullness. And friends, we need fullness. The fullness of God. You see here how it says to know this love that surpasses knowledge? And here's a statement here that I think is remarkable, a radical Bible statement. That you may be filled, how full? To the measure of the fullness of God. That is one of the most incredible statements of the Bible. That's the level, that's the measure that we're going for. The measure, filled to the measure of the fullness of God. God doesn't want to give us half measures. God wants to give himself. This is not just an experience, a Christian experience. It's not just about goosebumps and feeling happy. This is about us encountering God himself. The God of fullness. The God of love. The God who sends his Spirit into us so that Christ may dwell in us, that he would strengthen us, that with power through his Spirit, out of his glorious riches. The gift here is God himself, knowing God. And God is glorious. Have we lost sight of who God is? God, the holy, holy, holy God. The God of Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. The God who created all things and set the stars in place. The God who sits above the circle of the earth, for whom the nations are like a drop in the bucket. This is our God, the God, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, rich in love. Our God. The God who raised his Son from the dead and destroyed the power of the devil. Our God. And our God, who is coming again, one day, soon, he is coming again. This is our God. Our God who sits upon the throne. Our God, full of love, is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We see this example of Jesus where, for example, in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. In John 13, Jesus says, you should also wash one another's feet, serve people. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, do not judge, or you will be judged. In Matthew 5, he says, love your enemies. This is our God, the God who is like that. He serves, he loves, he's slow to judge, but he's merciful. The God, this is the God that we serve, the God that we know, who calls us to be like him. And not just like him. This isn't just a pull your socks up and try harder sermon. This is a recognize our weakness. God is so amazing. If we've never seen God, it's so important to think rightly about God. But then let's be like him in his power, through his Spirit who gives us the strength. He comes and dwells in us in order to help us live for him. He does the work. And that's why we see, and I'm going to be closing in a minute, in verse 20, now to him. Keeps going back to him, doesn't it? Now to him who is able. And that's a marvelous thing. Because if I think about the fullness of the Spirit, if I think about that for too long, I get overwhelmed thinking I can't do that. I can't lead a Christian life that's an adventure. I struggle to share my faith. I don't always find it easy to pray. I don't always have a marvelous time in Scripture. Sometimes you're just reading it. I sometimes feel afraid to share my faith. All of these things. I look at the Christian life, let alone revival, and sometimes it feels overwhelming. Anybody else feel that sometimes? So that's me looking at it as though I was meant to do it. God never said you have to do it. It says here, we do it in partnership with him. But it says here, where's the onus? In verse 20, now to him who is able to do what? Immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. And here's the brilliant thing. Now that you might think, well, that's all very well for God works amazingly in people like Billy Graham and Heidi Baker and all these other folks. Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Do you see how the relationship works here? It's us. His power is at work in us. We are included. You're part of this. You belong to this truth. This is who you are in Christ Jesus. God calls you to so much more, but not that you do it. It's again his grace. Just like we came into the kingdom, we continue to live in the kingdom by his grace. Because everything comes from him. But are we aligned with him? Are we cooperating with him? Are we partnering with him? Are we surrendered to him? Because the problem comes when I block that relationship through the silt of my own sin. And that's why we want to keep short accounts with God. And that's why we want to be honest with God and say and let the Lord know where we're at with him and talk to him so that he can come and cleanse us afresh and that we don't build up that callousness and hardness towards God, but that we keep soft hearts to him and we keep doing the faithful, diligent disciplines of discipleship, of being in Scripture and in prayer and in fellowship with one another and in the Lord's presence in worship. These are the things that keep us moving. But friends, we need to open our hearts wide and be ready. Are we ready to surrender to the fullness Sometimes I think we might pray to be filled with the Spirit and we expect God to fill us with a thimbleful. And God wants to saturate. God wants to do much more. That's why I'm encouraging us not to take Him casually. God wants to break every glass ceiling of expectation of what you can be and accomplish in His kingdom. There's so much more He's able to do, immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. The only limit is the power of the Spirit Himself, and that's limitless. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's put off self, put off fear, and all the things that stop us, everything holding us back from this freedom, the strongholds that so easily entangle us of fear or of control or insignificance or so many of these strongholds. God wants to set us free. Who has God created us to be? What did God have in mind when He formed you in your mother's womb? It was not mediocrity. It was not in the heart of God. It was not that we should be lukewarm. It was that we should be experience the fullness of all that God wants to give us and not have half measures. Now to Him who is able. And that the point there is surrender. We need to be, God calls me and all of us, surrender. Surrender all these weaknesses. Surrender our brokenness. Surrender everything about our lives to God and say, oh God, come and fill me. God, I'm done with sin. I am done. I want to seek the Lord, to learn to love, to put God first, to seek His kingdom first. Lord, how do you want me to reorder my life around your word? What do you want for every part of my life where I can know you more? But the problem with us all is that sometimes we just don't give God the time to even speak to us about these things. We're not in His word or prayer, so we never hear. And then we stumble on through life, hearing this victorious message and somehow thinking, I do not know what this is about. I'm sure it's working for someone else, but it doesn't seem to work for me. Well, I'm here today to say that God has in mind a victorious church, and you're part of it. And in our weakness is displayed His strength. I don't stand before you today as strong as I would like to be, or certainly I don't say that anything in the Christian life comes easy to me. And I have let the Lord down on many occasions, and it grieves me. But I do tell you this, that even though I know my weakness, I think I know my own heart, and God, let God be my judge on this, but I believe I love Him and want more than I'm currently experiencing from Him. And that is probably the key. And I thank God that there is more. I thank God for the immeasurable, that it's to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than I can ask or even imagine. Because I haven't got what it takes, but He does. And God is able to do it. To Him be glory. To Him be glory. Nobody else is going to share that glory. God, to Him be glory in the church throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.